This is a place for black people to share their stories, ideas, and perspectives. In a world that tries to define us, this is a space where we get to define ourselves, who we are, what we are, how we are, unashamed and unfiltered. In a world that tries to do that for us, this is a space where we reclaim our truth, narrating our own lives in our own voices. Welcome to the Black Monologues. 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 In this episode of Love in All Its Different Forms, you're going to be meeting Goldalyn. She was 17 when I did this interview, and honestly, she's one of the most incredible young girls I have ever had the opportunity to have a conversation with. Extraordinarily bright. I found her because she topped the entire country with her grades when she was in her younger teens. And I watched video clips of her surrounded by her loved ones. And I thought, wow, this is a girl who's definitely going places. So I know that we had a bit of a break, and I am sorry for that, but I promise you, this episode was worth the wait. I know I shouldn't have favorites, but I have to be honest, this is one of my favorites. Enjoy. All opinions and perspectives are their own. Please keep an open mind.
My name is Goldalyn. I am a 17-year-old Black Kenyan person with albinism. Blackness to me is ancestry, its origin, is where you're from, it's your core. It actually hit that I'm a Black person with albinism, and it's something that I have to live with. When I would catch the bus with my sister, kids who are walking to school look at me and start talking about me and calling me names, and my sister would have to like chase them away or just tell me not to look at them. And we used to stand next to some kiosk, and it got to a point where every morning when we would go to wait for the bus, I'd stand behind it so that they don't have to see me. Or I would go to my grandma's place. We'd all meet as an extended family. My cousins would ask me so many questions, meeting people or being around a group of friends, and they're like, oh, if I pinch you, will you like, I don't know, turn like red, or is it too painful? That's when it clicked that, oh yeah, I'm different. I'm Black, but I'm not like everyone else. I have a different skin color, and it's really conspicuous. Like, people are talking, people are looking. I'm a person with albinism. I come from Kakamega County, which is like an 8-hour bus ride from the city, Nairobi. It's really dominated with the Luya community. That's where we have settled, because my dad is Luya. And I live right next to a sugar factory. That's where I've grown up all my life. And I've gone to local primary school. That has meant that I have interacted with a lot of characters, because it's not as rural as some places in Kenya are, but it's still quiet, and it's not the easiest experience, especially in a rural area where not a lot of people are aware of albinism or they associate it with traditional practices. There's so many cultural misconceptions. There are people who say that if you take the body parts of a person with albinism and you take that, you ingest that, you might be cured of stuff like HIV, or some say that albinism is a taboo or a curse. There are all these things that can really tear someone down, because it may make you question yourself. I'm a young person, and I hear people saying that I'm precious, or I'm money, I'm gold. Literally, they want to kidnap me and go and sell me off or sell my body parts off. At the time, I'd just be like, okay, I'm attracting a lot of attention. And it made me love staying indoors instead, because being outside meant that I had to confront all this attention. I had to face it. I had to face all the stares and the names, the whispers.
Huyo ni nani?
Mbona anafanana hivyo?
And all of that, it made me just want to stay at home. And if I'm not at home, I want to be in class, I want to be in school. So it made me like close off from interacting with people outside, like that small circle around me that is family and friends. So I grew up indoors. A lot of times I would just stay home, read a book, do my homework, just chill around, or I'd rather be in school. Because I remember it got to a point where I really wanted to go to boarding. Like, I just wanted to be in one place the whole time. I wanted to avoid the whole having to walk down the road to catch the bus and having all these kids looking at me. And it made me push for boarding at the age of 11. And, you know, before, sunscreen wasn't as available. I'd go out and play and I'd come back and my skin is sore and red and it's painful and it starts peeling. And it used to take like a lot of effort from my parents to access sunscreen, because they had to go to town and get it. And it was really expensive at the time. And so there was that aspect that I'd rather just like stay in the house then. But in time, sunscreen became more and more available. Like right now, I have enough. So that's a good thing. A lot more people are learning about it, because in my area right now, I'm not the only person with albinism. We're a number of people right now, and a lot more people are aware of albinism. In as much as there's a lot more of awareness going on right now, it's still not easy, because you find that even a person that I consider a friend or an adult doesn't know that albinism is just a genetic issue. It's biology. Yeah, it's quite something. But as time progressed and I grew up and I learned all these things about myself and I figured that I was really smart, I went out there not as a person with albinism, but a person who's really intellectually gifted. I think that's one of the things that has really pushed me, is the fact that I can go in front of people and they don't have to see me as a person with albinism. Not that I would not want to be seen as such, but it just drew attention from the fact that I had a different skin color, I was different. It made me want to work on that intelligence. It made me want to always come off as somebody who is intelligent, so that people don't have to focus as much on the fact that I have albinism. Love is action. Honestly, I think that's the only way I can describe love in a way that I can relate to. And so it's the little things that people do for you. It's what you do for people. It's the little and the big things too, to show that they love me or I love them. Through my experiences in school, my experiences at home, having albinism also means that I'm limited in terms of eyesight. And so when I'm in class and the teacher always reserves the front seat for me and they make an effort to write larger, that's love. I used to have a desk mate and my class teacher always put us together, because what that girl would do would be like, she'd stop writing and literally read what's on the board for me to write. Or she would write like a page of the notes on the board and she'd give me her book and wait for me to finish writing. That's like someone going so out of their way to make sure that I'm comfortable, that I'm learning too. And to me, that's a demonstration of love, literally. I've had teachers who would give me a book in which they've written their own notes and be like, okay, you can copy from that. I had teachers who would, for example, if they're using the projector, they would increase the font. They'd rather dictate notes than write on the board, just to ensure that I was comfortable. And to me, that's an act of love, because it's not just you doing what you're meant to do. It's not the bare minimum. It's you going out of your way to make one student in your class comfortable. And I've experienced it to an extent that I'm like, wow, I may be facing a lot of challenges as a person with albinism in Kenya, but there are also people out here who are rooting for me. You know, the people out here who are for my wins. That's how I've related to love mostly, through primary school and through high school. I've always enjoyed learning because I could comprehend stuff. That's one. Two, when I was shining in class, my classmates wouldn't focus on the fact that I had a different skin color. They'd focus on the fact that I had topped the class. Having a clean sheet, like my report card always having like a 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. I've lived for that because it drew people away from Goldilin as a person with albinism to Goldilin as a really intelligent girl. Learning made me fit in and stand out at the same time. I could sit in a class with my fellow students and study just like them, and I'd do so well in that it would be like, oh yeah, she's a really smart girl. Like, what, the first thought that comes to someone when my name is mentioned is she's really smart, not she's a person with albinism. It's always been a dream of mine to rise above and beyond, not for me, but for people with albinism, to show them that if I can, then you can too. And I'm always able to do that through learning, through exams. I'm very passionate about learning because of the impact that I have when I know something, when I'm standing out, when I'm shining in school. I want to do medicine or something in the sciences in uni, to be like a professor, to be able to teach it, to be able to make my students comfortable, whether they have albinism or not, to be able to pass that knowledge that I have gained down, to be able to help people understand concepts. Because when I'm in a class and a teacher is teaching something really difficult, and at first maybe I was lost, but then I get it, it always hits me like, that's what I want to do. I want to help someone understand the way this teacher has made me understand this concept. I want to teach people, not because I know more than them, but because I want them to be comfortable. I want them to know, I want them to learn. I love my family. They really shielded me, especially my mom. She was always there, always telling me not to listen to what all these people were saying, always cautious with like who I was around. And that helped a lot because I did not get to digest all of these things mentally. They didn't have to stick in my mind. My mom would sit me down and be like, you're different from all these kids, that's why they look at you. But she would put it like, you're special, and just because you don't have melanin or because your skin color is different from theirs doesn't mean that you're incapable or you're different in a negative way. My dad and I wrote a letter, and it was a letter to Goldilin Kakuyu Research Institute. And every time I remember that, it pushes me that I want to learn, I want to excel in the field of science. But I don't want to do it for my own sake. I want to do it so that other people get the opportunity to learn too. I want to be able to open a research center so that we can keep advancing in science, not for my name or for my sake, but for anyone out there who's really passionate about learning, about science, about chemistry and biology and physics and about medicine and all of that. That's something that I dream of and something that I hope to achieve in future. My first language was Swahili. It's one of the national languages in Kenya. And I've always been passionate about Swahili as a language because it's something that connects all of us as Kenyans, regardless of where we're from, regardless of our tribe. And the fact that it's spoken in a number of countries, and the fact that I can communicate to a multitude and they'll understand me, I think that's beautiful. And it's not just the language, it's the fact that it can bring us together. It's the fact that we can relate through that one thing that's common between us, that is the language we're speaking. That's magic, you know. It makes us one in that we have this common thing between us, and it's unique to us. I find that really beautiful. I did a TED talk on Swahili as a language that taking over East Africa and Africa as a whole by storm, because it's got a lot of potential. And having so many people, more than 100 million people in Africa speaking Swahili, it may not be in relation to the whole population in Africa, but it's quite significant, honestly. That is one thing that I find really beautiful, the fact that we have this thing that's bringing us together, that if we're having an event or if we're eating together and we're celebrating together, it's not just the music that we can relate to, it's not just the food that we both enjoy, it's the fact that I can talk to you in this particular language and you will understand and you'll talk to me in that particular language. I love that, the basic greeting, like hello. In Kenyan Swahili slang, it's sasa. My favorite phrase is habari, because I can start a conversation with that, or I can check on someone with that. It does a lot. I'm really fond of saying hi to people. I love saying hi to people, just passing by and just like, hi, hello, how are you? If I'm passing by someone maybe who's having a bad day, but I spare a moment to just say habari, you know, it means something to me and it means something to them. And I think that's my favorite phrase, because it can always start something. It can start a friendship, it can start a conversation. All these things that could happen just from me saying hello to you. And so that is my favorite phrase in Swahili. I remember in 2017 when I topped the country, it was huge. And it wasn't huge just for me as a person, it was huge for the whole albinism community in Kenya, because it raised a lot of awareness on our capabilities, on the fact that we're just humans and with the right resources and consideration here and there, we can still shine. And so when my mom is telling me about women who called her and told her, oh yeah, I have children with albinism, and because of your daughter, they're doing this, they're doing that, they feel more confident. When Dr. Choksi, who is one of my mentors, she's an ophthalmologist, she has an albinism foundation, it's called the Dr. Choksi Albinism Foundation, and she pays school fees for children with albinism who aren't from well-off families. When she told me that you helped my community, my children, she literally calls us my children, you helped these mothers let their children out of the house, because they're people with albinism who are literally locked in the house because of the whole community and not being accepted. I wish that a lot more people were willing to learn, a lot more people were less ignorant. Because if I want to learn about something, if I want to learn about this genetic condition called albinism, I'll go out of my way, I'll read about it. And at the end of the day, that will save one person with albinism from being called names by me. If I know that this is just science, this is just biology, you know? And so I wish that in the future, a lot more people will be aware in Africa and just all around, a lot more people will take the initiative, a lot more people would care to learn about such as albinism. That is what I wish for, because knowledge is power, and since it's power, I wish a lot more people craved it, a lot more people would reach for it for their own sake and for the sake of those around them. Because it will save us a lot of hurt. Because if that is the case, then I'd want to go out there, I'd want to interact with other children, I'd want to be this social butterfly, because I know that I'm safe. I know that I do not have a target on my back. I know that this bubble or this place is good for me. And so thinking of that makes me want to I'd want to relive my childhood and just go out there because I know that I'd be safe. For people to let go of some traditional beliefs and a lot of misconceptions. I just feel like for us to get there, we'd have to push ourselves, for us to get out of our comfort zone as Africa, as a people, and educate ourselves. You can literally just Google albinism and literally it's right there. And so it will take our willingness to learn about this genetic condition and a lot of effort from entities and organizations working towards awareness on albinism, because through awareness, more people will know what's up. And when it comes to awareness, there are two sides. There's the organizations that will talk about all of this. There's the Albinism Society of Kenya. There's the Dr. Choksi Albinism Foundation and many other organizations or entities. Even personally, I would talk about it, but it also takes the people to want to learn, the people to go out of their way and learn about albinism or what albinism is about. And so it will take a lot of awareness and a lot of willingness, but I do believe that in time we'll get there. To the person out there with albinism, you're different, but you're not. Like, there are physical aspects that will show you as different. For example, your skin color or your hair color and stuff. But you're not different because you're human and you've got a heart and you're capable of doing stuff for yourself. And you are talented and gifted in different areas. And so you're different, but you're not. And you are loved. And to the world about Kenya, this place is beautiful. Come see us. Come pay us a visit. We'd love to see you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Black Monologues. We want to ensure Black stories, ideas, and perspectives are shared with as many people as possible. We want to do this free from vested interests so we can continue providing a safe space. For that to happen, we need you. Please support us by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and also subscribing to our YouTube channel. You can also sign up as a Patreon member or make use of our affiliate links to help us financially. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to sharing more with you. Take care.